Amen. Put your string there. If you have a Bible with a string, you know, that's what that string is for. It's not for just picking at every Sunday until it's all frayed up. It's designed for you to put down inside a book of the Bible so sort of remind you to go there and read that again and again. So take that string. If you don't, just take something. Take the program, put it there. Go. We're going to be in Jonah for a little while. I'm going to preach a series out of Jonah, something I've been wanting to do for a long time, preach through the book of Jonah. Amen. I've been preaching topical for the last probably about 6 or 8 months, and that gets a little tiresome. I like to preach verse by verse through the Bible. So we're going to look at Jonah, and we're just going to look at verses 1 through 5. We probably won't get to 5, but it's hard not to put 5 in this portion of Scripture that I want to speak to today. Chapter 1. We're going to preach through the Bible, through the book of Jonah, starting at chapter 1. Amen. Verses 1 through 5 today. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. We're going to speak from the subject of running from the demands of God, running from the call of God. Precious Lord, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the word coming clearly. We thank you for your divine instructions, and we thank you, Father God, for giving them to us clearly. Then, Father God, we thank you for being a God of first chances and second chances and third chances and, oh, Father God, chances of thousands of chances, because you're just so gracious. If you were not gracious, Father God, this church would be empty. The doors would be closed up, Father God, boarded up, and this church would probably be something other than a church. But because you're so gracious, you saw fit to save a people and design them and equip them to praise you and to worship you. Father, we thank you for being that people. We want to give you that glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jonah. Verses 1 through 3, we talk about Jonah disobeys the commands of the Lord. And God is demanding. God is demanding, and sometimes when God is demanding, it upsets us. That a God that's supposed to be a God of grace and a God of mercy could be so demanding. And then when we don't like God's demands, sometimes we want to be out of the presence of God, and we run, and in God's love, He chases after us. Verses 4 through 6, we'll study next week, how he uses storms. God sometimes uses storms to arrest his folks. And then in verses 7 through 10, we'll look at the fact that we may be the cause of the storms. See, sometimes we don't like to think about it. We may have a storm going on in our life, and we may be the cause of the storm. We may be the cause of the storms. And I know that don't go over real well. Because we always look at somebody else being the cause of our storms.
Uh-huh.
Or other things. But see, sometimes we need to take a good, deep, soul-searching look inside ourselves.
Amen.
And then sometimes we don't realize that we're the cause of the storm. And like Jonah, we can get caught up. Jonah was caught up in the belly of the fish prepared by God. So we'll study all that. But today we want to look at Jonah running. Jonah running from the call of God. Jonah running from the man of God. Look at the verse. It says, "Now the word of the Lord, it came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying," now so the word came clear. There wasn't no vision. There wasn't no dream. This wasn't a psychobabble. This wasn't somebody speaking, this wasn't somebody else coming to you and say, "You know what? God told me to tell you." Or God told me, or I think God is saying this, and God spoke to, no, God came to Jonah personally with a word. With a word that he understood clearly. He understood clearly what he was supposed to do. Hear what he said. He said, "Arise." Now that's troublesome to me. See, the man of God. See, sometimes a man of God can be sleepy, can be tired. See, God ought not have to tell his prophets and his people, "You need to arise all the time." I get accused of working too much and not getting enough sleep. Well, I don't think men of God get a lot of sleep. If I get 5 hours, that's a lot of sleep for me. Sometimes I come home and the kids are already gone to bed, and I'm up and gone before they even wake up, and they wake up early. It's just that kind of business. Jonah was a sleepy prophet. Some of us can get sleepy, and that word sleep, that word arise can mean you'll be falling into complacency. We can get complacent. We don't pay attention to ourselves and to our lives and to folks around us and to folks who we running with and hanging with. And when we do that, God has to come to us and say, "Arise." He said, "Don't arise. Wake up. Get yourself together. Brush your teeth. Wash your face. I got some work for you to do. Go to Nineveh." Now, we all got a Nineveh. Your Nineveh ain't my Nineveh. But sometimes God calls us to do something that we don't want to do. Something that you want to do. Maybe the man of God asks you to do something that you don't want to do. Maybe the Word of God is asking you to do something that you don't want to do. God asked Jonah, he said, "No, let me go back. God didn't ask Jonah nothing. This is not a suggestion. This is not God waiting for Jonah to give him a response.
Amen.
Okay? Man of God. Woman of God. God don't suggest that we do anything. This is not a suggestion. And Jonah, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. I have something I would like for you to do if you're not too busy. If it doesn't discomfort you, I would like for you to go to Nineveh." See, this is how the Word of God is preached in a lot of places. It's preached by suggestions. Okay? Please, can you, please, Mr. Deacon, please, Mr. Usher, could you please usher for us? Could you please sing for us? God's word don't come like that. God don't preach like that. God is God, and if you say you are His, then you have walked into this thing. Now He has the authority over you. He can tell you what to do.
Amen.
And God, Jonah was God's man, and we go to 2 Kings, we find Jonah was doing, he was a great prophet. He was ministering all over the world, teaching and preaching all over the world. Yes, he was. But he was preaching things that were comfortable to him. Then when God asked him to do something that was going to cause him discomfort, Jonah rose up. The Bible said, and Jonah rose up. He rose up. Verse 3 says, and Jonah rose up. He didn't rise up to do what God asked him to do. He rose up in a fury, and he rose up in a disagreement. Can't do that. I can't do that. I can't go over there in Nineveh, that great city. Nineveh was a great city. It was a world power at that time. Nineveh, the kings of Nineveh, ruled the world at that time. It's a great city, great power, great wealth, and great wickedness. Nineveh was a city of great wickedness, and God has said to Nineveh, and this is the question that God is still speaking to this great church. Wait a minute, what is it? This is a great church. No, it's great because God died for it. It was by God's blood that this church was formed and was created through the blood of Christ. So that makes it a great church, not because there's great folks here. It's great because it was built on the great blood of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Now, because it's a great church, because God built it, you know what? What happens in this church and every church rises up to the Lord.
Amen.
And what God said about Nineveh, He says about Christian Bible Baptist Church. This is what He says. He says, but He says about Nineveh, verse 2, that great city, and cry against it. Why? For their wickedness is come up before me. Let me say this. See, we sing a song when the praise go up, the blessings come down. See, God sings a song like this. When the wickedness goes up, the vengeance comes down. Because God is an avenging God.
Uh-huh.
So we have to be careful what we offer up.
Amen.
To the Lord.
Amen.
Wait, let me say that again.
Amen.
We just offer up anything.
Uh-huh.
We just offer up anything to the Lord. And we got to be careful what we offer up to the Lord.
Amen.
And if it means some things we just can't do, we just can't do. Because our offerings to the Lord needs to be sweet.
Amen.
Nineveh's offerings to the Lord was wicked. In the Word of God, the wickedness of Nineveh has come up before God. And you know what God told Jonah to do? He said, go and cry against that great city. You know what that word cry means? Let me help y'all now. Because you see, when a preacher, I heard preachers, well, I can't handle no preacher. You too loud. You too loud, and you screaming and hollering all the time. You know, that's what crying is.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God means when it's biblically you're crying. It said loudly. Riotously. How about that? Almost couldn't even get it out. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, He said, go there and scream and holler and cause a riot.
Amen.
Cause a riot. See, America needs preachers that cause riots.
Amen.
Then we sit here and get to you. You know, some preachers are smoother than Luther Vandross.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they smooth. And, you know, and some of us, some of you women don't even know why you like, because you like Luther. You like Luther. You like Smokey Robinson. Some of you like Barry Manilow. Yeah. Smooth. You know, can't handle a preacher that's confrontational.
Uh-huh.
That's bombastic and boisterous. Can't handle that. Uh-huh. Noisy. There's a lot of smooth preachers out there. Smooth silk. Smooth. I ain't smooth. I ain't smooth. I ain't never been smooth.
Amen.
Amen. He said, go to Nineveh. Cry. He said, this was the word to say, cry out unto them. See, this is Nineveh. Youngstown in Nineveh. Youngstown in Nineveh. He said, cry out to them. You know what we do? If we'd been Jonah, we'd have gone there. We'd have went to Nineveh. We'd have went to Nineveh. He said, we got Dr. Jonah here today. He's going to speak to us. First, we're going to do an A and B selection. Give me an A and B selection. Then we're going to have Dr. Jake pray. And the next voice you hear will be none other than Dr. Jonah from Joppa. That ain't what God told Jonah to do. He said, Jonah, leave your choir home. He said, leave your choir home. He said, leave your ushers at home. You ain't taking up no collection in Nineveh. They had a lot of money. See, most preachers would say, we're going to Nineveh. They loaded. We didn't have the big old white chitlin buckets. Them Benny Hinn buckets. And we'd have been passing them out. Because Nineveh got money and wealth. He said, they don't need all that. They don't need that. They need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
They need to hear the word of God. Listen, he said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry, scream, and holler against it.
Amen.
See, it's a hard time for a preacher to preach against stuff. Because, see, folks don't want to hear against. That means in opposition. That word against. And that means preach against their evil. Preach against their wickedness. Preach against them homosexuals and lesbians coming in your church. Preach against them folks in your church shacked up and living together and fornicating. Preach against it.
Amen. Amen.
Preach, man, you can't preach that today. All my members is fornicating. All my members is living together and shacked up. We got a whole choir full of homosexuals. What you want to do? Close the church. If so be.
Amen.
If so be. See, that's preaching.
Amen.
See, what we're doing today, we want to accommodate everybody. Everybody got to feel comfortable, you know. But I like to see, I don't believe anybody here that's saved want to see their homosexual son or daughter or their daughter that's shacked up and living fornication and not hear the word of God. Preacher, you know, my daughter here, her and her boyfriend, you know, they're going to get married one day, but right now they doing it too. So don't say nothing about it. You're going to offend them.
Uh-huh.
Well, somebody say, and everybody clapping, get right church and let's go home.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Some folks don't need to come here. Church ain't for everybody. I tell you all the time, church for saved folks.
Amen.
And see, we don't want to hear that.
Uh-huh.
Church is for saved folks.
That's right.
Born again believers. Ecclesia. Those who are saved. Those who really want to hear the word of God. Screamed and shouted and spit all over the place.
Amen.
Unsaved folks like it. Man, I love your pastor. I'm sitting up in here. I got five boyfriends. I'm dating two girls. Got five boyfriends. And I feel at home here. I feel at home here. Your pastor's like one of us. The people are so nice. And nobody was offended by me coming in here. I'm a pedophile. I like little kids. I'm comfortable in your church. I'm the leader of the Crips. I'm the leader of the Blood. And I'm comfortable in your church. Something wrong. That's what was happening in Nineveh. Nineveh was evil. Nineveh was a city known to have a way they could skin a body. Take the skin off a person's body without killing them. That's the suffering. They was a killing machine. Nineveh was a killing machine. Killing machine. And they would kill all these folks and they would make altars. This is to show that they didn't know God. They would make altars out of the skulls of the people they killed. They would build altars, pyramids to all the dead people they killed. And those were out front. Let you know what you're getting into when you come to Nineveh. You're right, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah hated Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites. He hated what they stood for. Why? Because he was a man of God. And we ought to hate sin. And we ought to hate evil. And we ought to hate liars. And we ought to hate sin.
Amen.
We ought to. And some of us comfortable with sin. And we get complacent, even as a man of God, we can get comfortable with sin. We get comfortable doing wrong until we get caught up. It's a wicked city. America's a wicked country. America's a wicked country, and the Word of God went to Sodom. When the Word of God came, when the Word came to God from Sodom and Gomorrah, listen to what it said in Genesis 18 and 20. It said, the Lord said this, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces in front thence and went toward Sodom. Let me see. God knows. What Sodom was doing was so bad. God said, I got to come down here myself. He said, I created these people. I didn't even know. But I got to come see this. He just wasn't going to take word of mouth. Let me keep going. I'm going to tone down. But he told Jonah, he said, go and cry. Jonah didn't want to go. Got on a boat. Let me read it, because the Word of God just makes it so expressive. Make you feel like you're watching this. He said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now watch this in verse 3. But Jonah rose up in disagreement with God to flee unto Tarshish. From the presence of God, of the Lord. Now, Tarshish was king of Nineveh. So we know the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. So Jonah was saying, I don't have nothing to do with what you asked me to do. And if it means me going east, when you tell me to go west, I'm going east. I'm just trying to get out of your presence. Now, let me tell y'all something. Child of God, saint of God, minister of God, preacher of God, usher of God, trustee of God, kitchen committee person of God. You can't get out of the presence of God. And just because you don't agree with God, don't make God wrong. You may not agree with God, but that don't make God wrong. That make you wrong. Let me say that again. Just because you don't agree with God, don't make God wrong. See, God said it, and I believe it. No. Okay? God said it. Amen. That settles it. It's over. And whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah knew better. Just like you. You're not out of the presence of God. Just because you hide behind snap face, and you hide behind comments and different things that's being said, amen, that don't mean you may be out of the presence of me.
Amen.
I sit there and I read some of the stuff. Just some of the stuff. They talk about Aaron Hernandez, the football player that died. Uh-huh. And then they write this story, and then on the comments, some people start commenting, saying all kind of crazy stuff. Now, they wouldn't put their real name on it. Okay? They didn't put their real name on it. They just, you know, we call them internet cowards or internet cowboys. Put your name on it.
Amen.
I write folks up on my job. I write them up. I ain't got no problem. I put my name on it.
Amen.
Okay? All right? Nah, I won't get promoted anytime soon. But there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. Okay? Put a name on it. Put a name on it. Listen, Jonah. Question asked. Why do saved folks refuse to serve God? What if saved folks refuse to serve God? Think about that. Saved person. I'm busy. Too busy. Number one. You know, we say Family Feud. Number one answer, I'm too busy. Okay? And you know what I say about busy? Y'all know what I say. The acronym for busy, people. Being under Satan's yoke. See, Satan had you busy. See, Satan keeps the saying to God busy. Doing the wrong stuff. Too busy to study. Too busy to pray. Too busy to read your Bible. Too busy. I'm too busy with family commitments. We have kids. I'm too busy with family problems. Even my sister's sick. Ain't no doctors in here. Your sister's sick. You can't come to church. You can't serve God because your sister's sick. Well, you got to be there with her. Let me tell you something. My prayers get to them hospitals. Amen. My prayers get to a nursing home. But what God called me to do, preach this gospel. Amen. Teach Sunday school and teach Wednesday night. Feed the people. Amen. Too busy with other things. You got the prom coming up. Somebody getting married. Having a baby. You know, they're just busy. See? How about this one? I'm married to an unbeliever who doesn't like when I go out. So I'm married to an unbeliever. He don't like when I'm fixing the pastor some chocolate cakes. I served for a while and I felt unappreciated and no one thanked me. Let me tell you something about serving. It's thankless work. Okay? It's thankless work. You can work your tailbone off and somebody will still gonna call you a devil. So folks, let me tell you something. If you in this to get a pat on the back and that a boy, you're in the wrong business.
Amen.
But I'm gonna give you three things. I'm gonna let you go. Because I know y'all. It's hard. It's hard. Being in church, preacher screaming and spitting. Let me give you three reasons why Jonah didn't go. Three reasons. Jonah didn't go to Nineveh because he didn't share God's love for people. God loved people. God loved people. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves people. And if you tell me you're a child of God and you don't love people, sinners, lost folks, then you're not saved. Period. Yeah. Period. You're not saved. If you're in your heart, you don't love people. Not me. I know I'm hard to love. But you gotta love people. Everybody. Black people, white people, Chinese people, crazy people, musty people, mean people, short people, fat people, greasy pork chop eating folks. You gotta love people. We got a whole lot of safe folks don't love people. Don't want to work with nobody. They don't like. They don't get along with. You gotta love people. Man of God, and it's in the list, the man of God, must be hospitable. 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 And his wife. Read 1 Timothy chapter 3. And his wife. Gotta be just as hospitable as him. Your wife can disqualify you. Got to be hospitable. Got to love people. Whether you like them or not. Jonah didn't share God's heart for the people of Nineveh. Let me share something. God always calls his people to love. He said this, John, in John 13 and 35. This is what God said. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. Now, my father was a disciplinarian. He was a disciplinarian. I told y'all. Still don't like looking at stitch of cords. Okay? See, that's how someone disciplines you and somebody calls you out, don't mean they don't love you.
Amen.
So we don't want to be called out. Cindy called me out and checked me. You're wrong. You need to stop. She's not doing it because she hates me. She's doing it because she loves me.
Amen.
You need to slow down. Think about it. See, some of us, and Jesus' answer said, listen, Peter, cut off the man's ear. Cut off the man's ear. What did Jesus do? This man had come to arrest him. Peter cut off his ear and he wasn't aiming for the ear. He was trying to cut off his head. He hit the ear. What did Jesus do? He said, Peter, listen, stop it. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And he touched the man's ear and put it back on his head. Some of us get along with Peter. Take another shot, Peter. Stephen understood God's will. And they were stoning Stephen. He gave him the gospel. He gave him the truth. From the Old Testament to the New in Acts 7. And he gave him the truth and they stoned him. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Paul had to learn too. He was disobedient. He's a rebel. Hated Christians. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:12, Paul said, labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffer in. Paul shared God's love for people. He never stopped laboring. He never stopped preaching. He never stopped ministering. Never.
Man.
And he came under it. He came under attack. And you will, and I will. But that's the business we signed up for. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. All who desire to live godly in Christ, all you got to do is say, I want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing. And you're going to get attacked.
Amen.
All you got to do is say, I want things done right in my life. I want to be held accountable. And the Bible says, all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. Jonah had grown comfortable, complacent. Then we gotta wake up. See, that's why the preacher gotta preach live. Some of y'all sleep right through it. If I was smooth, you sleep right through it. Some of y'all snoring in here now, and I'm screaming.
Amen.
And I'm sitting here like because the reason you're snoring in here now because you up all night and Netflix and all just. Texting all night and scrolling and Facebooking all night. And, oh, Lord, it's 2 o'clock. I got to get up and go to church.
Amen.
Now you can't stay woke. Blinking. Just blinking. See, when we were running in the streets, we'd sleep till 11 o'clock. So we'd be fresh when we went out. And you go to church, Jesus comes dragging to church. And you're dragging. You got demons all over you. Just dragging the church. Serpents just hanging on you. You ain't trying to take them off. and you drag up into the church with all that mess and all that. And you got to wake up. Then Paul said, then God said to Jonah, wake up, Jonah. Rise and go. Arise and go. And we got to wake up. Listen, this is what Paul says about sleeping Christians. He says in Romans 13, he says this in verse 11. And that knowing that the time, knowing the time. Do y'all understand what time it is? I know y'all social media buffs, but I know that stuff coming through social media. Do you see what's happening in this world? I said this on Wednesday night. You got a man downtown Youngstown just jump off the rail and kill himself. How many of you know this man was married? Worked at General Motors, had a beautiful home, had a beautiful wife, and kids. You think when he started that being complacent stuff that this was going to be the end result? Seriously? How many believe that Aaron Hernandez, this football player who hung himself in prison, how many believe that 10 years ago he thought this was how he was going to die? Just signing a $40 million contract. Got the world living in a mansion in New England. See, we get complacent. We get smug and we get self-righteous and we there's no sense of urgency. We don't have a care in the world. And we say it all the time. Sin will always take you further than you plan on going, keep you there longer than you plan on staying, and cost you more than you plan on spending. It said when Jonah got on the ship, the Bible said that he paid the fare. Why? Because God don't pay for that. God ain't paying for it. When you're doing wrong, God ain't in it. Okay? You know, God has blessed me with this and God blessed me with this. Listen, you know, if you ain't right with God, don't put God in your mess.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? You ain't right with God, God ain't blessing you. God ain't blessing you. Satan blesses. See, y'all, that don't even register with people. Satan blesses. He told Jesus in the wilderness, he said, you bow down to me and I'll give you all that you seek.
Yeah.
Now, if he would give Jesus all that, he'd give you a little BMW. Okay? It ain't nothing to say. No, listen. All these fools wanted BMWs. Look at my BMW. God is good to me. He blessed me. God ain't bless you. Let me tell you something. God bless you with BMW. You won't have no payment book.
Amen.
God's blessings don't come with payment books. You bless yourself with that BMW. And I'm not against BMW. I want one day when Jake win a title fight Roger Mayweather, and I'm gonna get me one. I'm gonna say Jake blessed me with this. Let's keep going with this. Cause see, we can get comfortable. And see, like God had to use the storm to wake Jonah up. See, don't think what you're going through. Don't think what you're going through, God ain't in it. Okay? See, God had to wake up the prodigal son with starvation. Now he's sitting up there waiting to eat the pig pen. He had to wake up Naomi and Ruth with losses of their loved ones and husbands and sons. God had to wake them up.
Amen.
God had to wake them up. God had to wake them up. Let me give you one more verse. This is an interesting verse. 1 Corinthians 4:15-34. Now, what's what it says? Because some of us woke physically. I'm talking about spiritually woke. See? You can march up in here. Physically, you woke. You might be woke. You might just have you Starbucks and put an extra shot in it. I know how they do. They put an extra shot in it. And you may be woke. Physically. But are you woke? Fiercely. See, that don't mean Jonah was asleep physically.
Amen.
He was asleep spiritually. He was asleep to the things of God.
Amen.
He wasn't woke to the things of God. He had no interest in the things of God. And when you don't have any interest in the things of God, you only have interest in the things of Satan.
Amen.
You're going to be woke to something. So Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, he just got done giving these folks a whole business on all this crazy speaking in tongues stuff. And he's saying, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's a shame. It's a shame for you to call yourself a man of God, a woman of God, and not have the knowledge of God. And not only not have it, not desire it, not want it, not starve after it. Well, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. No. You go to church. There's a difference between going to church and being a man of God and being a woman of God. No. God can use a jackass to usher. God don't need no. Listen, folks. Listen. God's word says this. He says, it is a shame not to have the knowledge of God. Ephesians. Same thing. It's all through the Bible. See, you get a Bible church, you're going to get Bible.
Amen.
And you go to Luther Vandross Church, Pastor Luther, and you get smooth, and you'll leave feeling good. Oh, I felt good. Man, that brother, not only could he preach, that brother sang, the words just melted off me. You know? And we got all these singing preachers, and they sing better than they preach. And they sing because people are like, oh, man, I want to hear that. You know? You know, you're sitting there with your dude. You're a dude. You're sitting there with your dude. You're a girl. You're sitting there with your girl. And the preacher says, man, I just love you more now that I heard him. Y'all don't hear it. Paul says this. He said, wherefore, he say, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then, when you get this light, when you arise from the dead, when you awake from your sleepiness, then you will walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. I mean, you're going to walk in your righteousness, and you're going to walk in your integrity, and then all this stuff start coming at you. Guess what? You'll be like Paul. Paul said, I am fully persuaded. Okay? Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. You're going to take it. Then, when you walk in certain faces, not as fools, but wise. Why, Paul? Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord. Come on now. That explains itself. Wake up. Kenny Pendergrass used to sing it. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in church. I don't know how that went. Y'all know what I mean. You in here physically. Got your hands balled up. Ready. Oh, no, Pastor, you say anything, I don't know. Ooh, I can choke him. I can kill him. That's it. See, if we understand that, that's how unsaved folks are supposed to feel about the pastor.
Amen.
That's how I felt about it when I wasn't saying go to church. Ooh, I took that man. Telling me I need to get out of bed with this woman. Telling me I need to be faithful to my wife. Telling me I don't need to drink. I shouldn't smoke these blunts. I ain't do all that. Listen. One more thing. I think this is the most important one. Why Jonah didn't go. Jonah misunderstood. And I think many of us do. We misunderstood. We misunderstand the duty of being a man or woman of God. We don't understand what we just sign up for. You know, take me to the water. Take me to the water. We have no clue. We sit here today. Many of us sit here today and have no clue why we should have ever got baptized. have no evidence of receiving the Spirit of God, no evidence of our walk being changed by the hearing of the gospel, no evidence that the Holy Ghost lives within us, but we didn't got baptized. And we don't understand the seriousness of being a child of God.
Uh-huh.
Come on now. Oh, Lord have mercy. We don't understand. This is why you hear me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Pastor, why you say that so much? Everybody in this church ought to be able to come up here and quote John 3. Okay? I'll be in class all the time, and I'll hear Ann, and I'll hear Rita, and Pastor Shell said this. What y'all going to say about me? You know what you're going to say? 3 John 3:16. You know, y'all should have been up. The pastor just wore that out. He just wore that out. Be all old like Mother Ann now. And yeah, Pastor, that's all he did. John 3:16. Because he didn't, you don't need to get baptized. You don't need to get baptized. You don't understand John 3:16.
Amen.
Okay? You don't believe. Well, Pastor, we need to do it again. I'll do it again. We'll fill it up.
Amen.
I got baptized and didn't know. Have a clue. Know what that? I did it again. I was scared because I know what you have to do. Listen. Listen. Luke 9:23. See, when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, what you have done is transferred ownership. Okay? Come on now. You know, it's like selling a house. You know, I love this old house. You know, I love this old house. But now you're selling it. And I've had people cry. I hear stories of people crying because, you know, they're selling their house. They got so many memories. So many memories of that house. Okay? So when you get saved, what you've done, if you transfer who you are and everything about you, you've given ownership to God, and God has the right now to do whatever He wants. And He might not, the room that you painted so beautiful or the carpet you thought was so beautiful, He can rip it all out.
Amen.
He can rip it all out. He can rip it all out. You come back, like, oh no, that carpet was brand new. I don't like the color of it. And God can do the same thing to you. When you give Him ownership, you may not like the way He deals with you. And you may not like the way He checks you and calls you out. Listen, I didn't either. Okay? So when God called me, let me tell you something now. Where my wife at? She in here? Okay. Y'all can always look at her. She started turning her head like, oh, this boy in line. No? When God called me, first church I went to, you know what I did? I cleaned toilets. I cut grass. I mean, I weed whack. I cleaned the whole church up. Cleaned it all up. Worked my behind off cleaning the church up. We can't ask some of these folks in here to do nothing. Okay? You be calm. It's your house. This should be a beautiful place. Oh, my. Listen, Luke 9:23. I'm gonna be done. There's a transfer of ownership that has to happen. He said unto them, if any man will come after me, okay? You say you're a Christian. You say you've been born again. You say you received the Spirit of God in your life. Then he said, all that has confessed that. He said, if any man will come after me, let him or her deny himself. Put all your feelings and all your attitude and all your desires and ambitions, put all that on the back burner.
Amen.
And take up your cross daily and follow me.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. And follow me.
Uh-huh.
Not your wife.
Uh-huh.
Not your in-laws. Not your wife's father. Follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There ain't nothing wrong with following your folks if they follow Christ. Okay? See, this is why the Word of God says, His doctrine divides. It comes into a house and then it split up the whole house. In a pit, husband against wife, and wife against husband, and father-in-laws against sons, and sons-in-laws against daughters. No, why? Because the Word of God divides.
Amen.
It divides. It's going to cost you. You're not coming to Jesus with this cost-free, nothing type of religion. It's going to cost you.
Amen.
And how much is it going to cost you? No, it may cost you everything. It may cost you everything. Anyway, we don't like that. It ain't for you to like. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not for you to like. You don't have no. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's still the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? It's just the Word of God. Counting the cost means recognizing and agreeing to some terms first. So some of us need to go back. Go back to where we got our salvation from. And then say, this ain't real stuff. I need to start this thing over again. See, this is what Nicodemus had a hard time with Jesus. Jesus, Nicodemus, stop. You trying to do God's work without the Spirit of God. You must be born again. Now you have to ask yourself, truly now, based on what Pastor said, am I born again? That's the question, and we get that straight, all the problems stop. Have I been born again? And if I have been born again, would I be doing this or I'll be doing that? We don't hear it. And Jesus said to the crowd, they would follow him, and they would follow him for the wrong reason. He said, listen, he said, enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go there. Why? It's the easy way. You can have your attitudes, and you can come to church any kind of way, and you can lie and steal and hate folks, and you can be an adulterer and a fornicator and a drunkard, and you on your way to heaven with beer bottles and a pocket full of number slips. On your way to heaven. Heaven, here I come. God says this. Verse 14, he said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's a cost. There's a cost. Jonah knew the cost. Wasn't willing to pay it. Listen. As I close. No, I'm going to close. And you know, when I look at the text, when I look at Jonah, running from the demands of God, I can run. I got enough reasons to run. Matter of fact, I said it a couple of weeks ago. The average tenure of a pastor is 2 years. Seriously. 2 years. 2 years, 3 men. They say something like 150 pastors resign every week. Just quit. Why? Because it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. The demands are too high and folks just walk away. Okay? So I preach a message to myself every once in a while.
Amen.
I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
Because I know what I signed up for. Amen. And then sometimes I have to remind myself what I signed up for.
Amen.
I have to remind myself.
Amen.
God called me to do some crazy stuff. He was up there and say, when you drive 68 miles one way to work, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. You know why I do? And I said this to Cindy. When Cindy rolled with me a couple times, we went back and forth to Massachusetts. And you know what? I had just preached the message. I said, you know what? God's not always going to bless you. When God uses you, rather, it's not going to be comfortable.
Amen.
God's not going to use you in a way that's comfortable. And you can rest assured, God, if you comfortable serving God, you're not serving God.
Amen.
Let me say that again. If you comfortable serving God, you're not serving God.
Amen.
None of the apostles were comfortable. Okay? Nobody in this Bible ever was comfortable serving God. Don't come with comfort. Folk dying, going to hell. 150,000 people a day dying and going to hell. And you know what church is doing? Mining, praise dancing, past the anniversary. I got a letter from the church around the corner on the other side of town. Well, maybe you can't come, but send our pastor a love offering. I'm not sending him nothing.
Amen.
I'm not sending your pastor nothing because he don't deserve nothing.
Amen.
No pastor deserves. You know what you deserve? You'll get it in heaven. Send our pastor a love offer. I'm not sending him nothing. I'm done.